In a same, but completely different. I just remember that a teacher kind of like laid it out thick and said, you know, all you're going to hear in life is they won't take that in high school. And then in high school, they're going to say they won't take that in college. And then in college, they say they won't take that in the real world. And then you get to the real world and you realize anything goes.
Pretty much. If you do anything with enough confidence and if you're cute enough, you get away with everything. Right, Joe?
Totally.
Was that totally or toad-ally?
No, totally would be more like, I'm gonna swing from the chandelier here! From the chandelier here!
You scared the cat.
Hi, welcome back to This Toxic Fandom, where we ramble for approximately 17 hours about the newest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Season 16, Episode 10. What do you guys think the title of this episode is if you didn't look at it? Because it's...
Power.
Nope. Work the World. Some down to a cool 90 minutes, send it straight to your ear hole. Say hi, Toxic fans.
Hi.
Introduce yourself, Toxic fans.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stephen Pope. I'm your podcast dad, your professional hobbit. And, this episode put me to sleep. Moving right along to our beautiful co-host, David. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm David Gorin. I am very annoyed with this episode. And I'm also very annoyed because we're recording on Oscar Sunday and Oppenheimer is about to sweep. And I don't care for that. I don't.
And I believe in fighting the power, which means that I'm going to fist fight this song in the parking lot of a Wendy's. Jolie, let's get started.
You're going to fist fight or fist fuck?
There are no accidents in fisting.
One time somebody saw my painted nails and they were like, that's great for fisting because it gives you a layer of protection between your nail and the person's skin.
That's not where I thought that story was going.
Me neither.
But I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. Painted nails for tops.
I'm not going to lie. When you started telling the story, I was like, if this goes where I think it's going, I'm throwing my notes across the room and I'm doing this episode blind.
I don't feel like you really need notes for this
David
episode.
David was going to go full Oedipus Rex and just stab both of his eyes out.
Yes. You know, I played Antigone in college.
I played...
Antigone?
Yes, Antigone.
I played Greek Old Man in Iphigenia 2.0 in college.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I do. Oh, that show is dirty.
My entire job was looking annoyed at everyone on stage and speaking Greek. I had to learn Greek.
So, looking annoyed and yelling at everyone. Did that prepare you for this?
I forgot all my Greek lines, otherwise I would say one. Anyway, they're back in the workroom. Maya is like, I murdered Plasma. Her blood is everywhere. Oh my god, Plasma became a Bloody Mary. Anyway, Morphine's like, if I had to be in the bottom, I was going to cut this dress off. And Maya would have been like, then you would have gone home naked.
Damn.
Well, you're forgetting that it did say something on the mirror.
What did it say?
I don't know how to read.
Wow, in quotes, Morphine. Thank you all. Thank you all the love. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Exoplasy.
So
that actually was going to be her verse this week.
Yeah.
That was her verse on telling you to get out and vote, which would have been as impactful. I was going to say would have been as impactful as everyone else's verse about voting.
You know why they all sucked, right?
Why?
Because Megami wasn't here to write them.
Oh.
I mean, it's not wrong.
I guess I got an O.
I now firmly believe that Maya's verse originally rhymed Maya with Maya 16 times in ASMR Lover. And then Megami was like, maybe Maybe rhyme things with other words.
Yeah.
Maybe get these girls a rhyming dictionary. That could have been a nice start. Just saying.
Yeah. Wait, I have a question. Was it in the episode or Untucked where someone called out Nymphia for not having someone to write her lyrics?
It was in the episode.
That was in every part of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was, I mean, Nymphia, I actually appreciated, because in the actual episode, we didn't get Megami wrote Nymphia's verse as, like, a part of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't care about Megami's edit. Versus now, literally half this episode.
Okay.
Drag Race tweeted, "Where is Megami?" with a clip of Nymphia talking about that. And Megami responded saying, "Home, where you sent me."
One, I love Megami. I absolutely adore her. Two, I'm loving how everything she's doing on social media right now is great. And three, I'm so annoyed with this toxic fandom, because the outrage, the shock, the how offended everyone was that Safira cut up, you know, Maya's, you know, pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And yet everyone's kind of cool about Megami literally basically doing the challenge for Nymphia once upon a time. And I'm not talking shit about Nymphia. I'm just saying there's a lot going on.
Okay, so I need you to understand something, Pope.
Yes.
Media literacy is dead.
I'm aware.
So people just believe what they see on TV. That's why they think that Plain is talented at drag.
Oh! I gotta stop going, oh. Y'all, we lost an hour this morning. I don't know where that hour went, but please come home. I'm so tired.
I grew up in Arizona.
Oh, fuck off.
All of you are fucking freaks for doing daylight saving
time. I don't get it. I don't get it. I grew up in the fucking rural bumfuck California, and I still don't get it.
I hardly know her.
Ugh.
All I'm going to say is there was an episode of a TV show called Erie, Indiana, and they moved to Erie, Indiana, and apparently they don't do daylight savings time there, and the kid's like,
Erie,
fuck you, I'm going to do daylight savings time, and he turns his clock back, and he goes missing. And then he ends up in, like, a double of the town where no one is there except for this other girl who turned her clock back.
How That's do you remember this fucking Fox Kids show that was, like,
it's like
Twin
how,
Peaks for babies?
It's like how I have a distinct memory of this show that I did not know the title of until David, I don't know it, but David, like, randomly referenced it. And I was like, was it a show where one episode, the street was too hot and they like melted their shoes and they had to jump from shoe to shoe? And he's like, yeah,
Pete and
like,
Pete.
Why does everyone know this?
Because Pete and Pete was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was also Twin Peaks for children.
It was also Twin Peaks for children.
Pete stopped being on the air when I was, I literally only ever caught one episode of it. And then okay. I think it went off the air forever.
Wait, in a same, but radically different. I love how we're just trying not to talk about the episode.
It was a bad episode. We
had only seen, I saw an episode of a TV show that I did not know what it was, and I was trying for the longest time to figure out what show it was. Flash forward, like, 20 years, I'm watching The Nanny, and there's an episode that is a backdoor pilot for a TV show they wanted to do about the hair and nail salon.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, yeah. That was the only episode of The Nanny I had ever seen.
For real.
And everyone's like, wait, you saw the backdoor pilot episode? No wonder you were like, this show sucks.
Oh my God. The Nanny is so you.
I know.
I had a friend in college who was convinced dinosaurs was not a real show.
It isn't. It's just a fever dream. Anyway, speaking of fever dreams, the challenge this week is that they're going to be writing verses for RuPaul's funk voting anthem, Power, which will be performed at Work the World. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Work the World is absolutely a cool thing that people enjoy and remember the individual group numbers for.
Joe, I don't think that you understand that this is literally them being like, this is what I signed my life away for.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Dave and I have been to Work the World. Have you been to Work the World?
I have not been to Work the World. I went to the Drive and Drag show, which was a very similar vibe to Work the World, but yeah. I've never been to a proper Work the World.
It's fun. It's
and I've
a
been
good
to the
time.
Vegas show.
The Vegas show is basically like Work the World with more money.
Yeah.
Wow. Work the World is poor.
No, Work the World actually has a fair amount of.
I was gonna say, I feel like Work the World probably has a pretty good budget.
Yeah,
they have to do like stadium stuff. But so
before we get to that though, just because I wrote this down and I just thought it was funny. There's the Maya versus Morphine moment, and Dawn goes full Brooklyn Heights.
I love. Here's the thing.
I love Maya.
Dawn is the only thing keeping this season, this episode watchable.
Yeah. She really is.
Like,
she really is.
Dawn, like, we've slowly lost every narrator this season.
Yeah.
Except for Dawn. Like, Morphine is our narrator who tells us what's happening, and Dawn is our narrator that brings us the drama. And it's like, but she's like, this is scary. Do you guys do this in Brooklyn or in Florida?
Miami.
In Miami? Girl. But I mean, in fairness, it's so obvious how much Maya and Morphine do not like each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
And like,
the two of them are the reason they canceled spring break.
Well, I.
Spring break.
I mean, I do think there's probably a level of like, there's pro. Maya and Morphine feel like such different types of drag that I wouldn't be surprised if they have two, and they feel like the tops of their games in two different types of drag, that I have a feeling that like they have a very strong actual rivalry in real life.
I believe that, and I wish the show had spent any time on that as opposed to what we got.
Maya
which
would have
was...
had to have a personality first.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that it's like,
get out of here, plane. Fuck off. Get out of here. Where's my taser?
What? No, what is Maya's personality? What has she spoken other than being shady?
Okay, you got a point.
Like,
there.
Like it's not, like, how dare you call me Plain for that? Plain would never actually say something that was relevant or insightful.
No, no.
I need an adult.
You are the adult.
Don't remind me.
Is this
me.
What they do in Miami? We're scary.
Ah.
But anyway, they get into writing their verses. It's Nymphia, as we talked about earlier, can't figure out what words rhyme with yellow. The answer is orange.
Mellow, jello.
I think that hello, she doesn't rhyme something bello. With yellow. She ends her verse with when you vote yellow, but I don't think there's a rhyme to get into it.
The issue.
Very funny.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that it's, I feel like you're about to say the exact same thing.
Go for it.
It's English as a second language.
I mean, it's that. And also.
I wish she would have included Taiwanese then. Like, there's a level of, like, I think that she could have incorporated the language she does speak, which is something that happens a lot on Drag Race and is rewarded. I mean, Morphine speaks Spanish in her verse.
Yeah, it's great.
Morphine's verse is so good.
Morphine
is
does fucking, everything right.
Morphine is a fucking goddess in this episode. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Right now we have did anything else happen?
Q had a is dreaming of the queens, and they're like, what kind of dreams? And then it cuts to Dawn's confessional, and Dawn's like, I've been thinking about the queens more than I would like. Tee-hee-hee. And they're like, who you want to fuck? And she's like, oh my God, I couldn't tell you. I could never say that. Oh, maybe I will. No, no, I can't. So who do we think Dawn wants to fuck?
Plain.
No.
No.
Morphine?
No.
Safira.
Safira.
Or maybe
Daddy
Q.
Daddy and Mommy.
Q, I could see. I could see Q.
I mean.
Or, you know, if they.
Q Dawn Rising.
Oh, God.
I have the ship name.
Well, I was about to say, if depending on, because we don't know when they pulled that clip from, if it was from, like, let's say the beginning of the season, I feel like it could have been Megami.
Yeah.
Just because in Untucked, they showed her boyfriend, and he's, like, you know, like a tatted dude.
I can see that.
I always think it's interesting when we only, like, this is the first message from home that we've gotten this season. I'm like, it's so late. How many people filmed messages from home that just didn't get seen?
I'm sure so many girls got them, and the response was just kind of like, oh, yay. Like, famous, you know, your best friend, Ginger Minj, she got a call from home and they never even showed it.
Didn't she win a call from home?
Yes. God. No, didn't someone else
Trixie
win a call from
won
home?
It and gave it to Ginger.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, they didn't even show it.
Probably because it wasn't interesting.
Yeah, and that's probably what happened here. Speaking of Megami.
There was something interesting in this episode?
Wait, actually, kinda. I have a question. And I mean, we could have an entire talk about Untucked, but I feel like only I watched it.
I watched
it.
Oh,
you watched it?
Yeah, I literally am referencing it.
I wasn't sure if you were referencing it because you had like seen something or...
Wow, David thinks I'm a fake fan just because I haven't watched Untucked for the last 6 weeks.
Anyway.
I'm a fake fan because I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I
so Untucked is a show after Drag Race.
Okay.
Where they show what the queens do in the work in like the backstage area while the judges deliberate. Except
okay.
there's
All
also
right.
a section where the guest judge comes back and adds no value to it.
Oh,
but it used to be a place where they played fun games like what's inside the pink furry box.
So when did they whip their dicks out?
Wait, Pope, did you know that if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story?
I thought that was if I wasn't listening to Sibling Rivalry.
That's only as if you're not listening to This Toxic Fandom. Available on iTunes. Anyway.
Wait, I had a question, though. I would like both of you to do a dramatic interpretation. If Plain Jane's dad recorded a video message...
Oh, please, please, may I?
Oh, I want you both to do it.
All right. I just really want to start. Hello, son. Is I, father. Do not disappoint me. Do not disappoint motherland. That is all. Here is mother. And then they leave. That's it.
I think that Pope misunderstands Plain Jane's dad. It's what kind of faggoty TV show is my son on?
Our Russian accent.
Drag Race? You are no son of mine.
In this win. We need to do an episode. When Drag Race Russia finally happens, we'll do that. We'll do the entire series with those voices.
You mean when it's not you mean the version that that Plane is going to host where she claims that it's not an offense to be gay in Russia.
Yeah, of course.
Plane's Russian Drag Race is basically that time the influencer into the Shein factory and was like, they treat their employees well. I will not show inside the factory.
So dark. So fucking dark.
Anyway, you know what I think is the kind of the wildest thing about this episode?
What?
There's already a great Drag Race song with Rue Girls on it that is, like, themed after the idea of what being an American means to you.
Is it, like, I'm an American?
Yeah, like, it was one of those things where every verse started and all I could think was Asia O'Hara's, her name was set and etched in shadows, but now it's written in, like, and I was like,
That was Asia O'Hara. That was Asia O'Hara, and I remember this because David, it was the Aquarius season, and you had fallen in love with Aquarius so hard.
I still love Aquarius.
Yeah, because you're New York, you're Italian, and you are an Aquarius.
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
David is also 16 using a fake ID to get into bars.
Obviously. And has a weird
relationship. I knew the bouncer.
Bouncer.
I fucking you would. You fucking would.
I did.
Oh my
Misshapes,
God.
Baby.
I was just going to say
Misshapes?
You were obsessed with the line, I'm the bitch from New York City.
Well, yeah, I love
that was a great
Aquarius
verse challenge.
was fantastic.
Great. I will say this just quickly because you were like, Misshapes. So there was a party in New York City at, I don't know if Don Hills still exists, but if it does, shout out to Don Hills. And it was a dear friend of mine was the DJ. And my friend was interning for her. And so because of that, the DJ was like, bouncer, these are all my friends. Get to know them. And so we would all go in underage and hang out. And then I recently found out that all of my friends were doing coke in the bathroom. And then someone would go, I feel bad. Should we offer David some? And then one of them would inevitably go, do you want to deal with his mom? Because I don't want to deal with his mom.
Coke in the bathroom. So you better not tell David.
Exactly.
Mostly, you know, cocaine. Apparently, cocaine doesn't work if you have ADHD.
Can confirm.
Huh.
Makes you very sleepy. It's very uncomfortable. I wouldn't recommend. Mm. And the hangover off coke is fucking awful. It is a full day. You don't want to move. Your entire body hurts. And the back of your... And just post-nasal drip down your soft palate is just the most disgusting flavor you've ever tasted, which is just residual Coke.
Am I hungover? Is that what's going on with me today? Is that my problem?
Did you do cocaine?
No, but...
What's your soft palate taste like?
Mm, gross.
Did you say I agree? I was like, did you taste his soft palate? I was like,
Pope... Joe, please, I'm a married woman.
Pope, I was going to say... That was maybe the grossest series of sounds we've ever made on this podcast.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from either of you.
I literally never make gross sounds. I'm very respectful. I just occasionally yell.
You yell and you have burped.
No, that's probably me.
No. I've burped unintentionally. Like, I've burped. People do it. It's a thing that happens, potpourri.
You're so offended right now.
I'm offended that apparently burping is that I'm not allowed to burp. Apparently normal bodily functions are too gross for Stephen Pope.
I thought you were about to say apparently normal bottoms are too gross for Stephen Pope.
I'm not a normal bottom. I'm a cool bottom. I'll let you eat ass in the house.
I'd rather you do it where it's safe.
So there's this guy that I follow on Instagram, and someone was like asking,
if this ends in fuckable pasta, I swear to God.
It does not.
wait. Pope.
Joe.
Now you're the one bringing up the fuckable pasta guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've corrupted you.
You have.
Yeah, we won.
You ruined me. You
David,
ruined.
We won.
Oh, you won.
We're going to Olive Garden to celebrate.
We did
David's
it, Joe.
David's going to get a tour of Italy.
We did it, Joe.
David's items are in the tour of Italy.
Fuck me. Okay, wait. Let me
fuck
see.
David like a tour of Italy. The three most fuckable pastas.
Wait, is it fried lasagna? Is that one of them?
No, that's an appetizer you get before the tour of Italy.
And I will be ordering it.
Uncultured pleb.
Wait, don't you get Italian wedding soup?
That's
not part of the tour of Italy. That's just the soup and salad you get at Olive Garden.
What about the breadsticks?
Infinite.
Okay.
The limit does not exist.
Okay.
Anyway, what is the tour of Italy? Explain. Explain yourself.
Guys, this episode's so bad. We don't even care about it. This is now an Olive Garden podcast.
Anyway, how many unlimited shrimp do you guys think you could eat? I think I could reach 200.
I've done it. I tapped out at 50.
Weak.
Huh? No, 20.
I'm weak. David.
I don't trust an animal that carries its house on its back.
David, you need to believe in yourself more.
Nah, this is a fact.
You don't eat the house part of escargot.
Yeah.
Escargot is so good. How many unlimited escargot could you eat at Red Lobster?
At
the Red Lobster unlimited escargot.
I'm surprised that there isn't like a French version of the Olive Garden.
I think there is. I think Mimi's is supposed to be that.
But like Mimi's isn't like classic French food. I think it's because French food requires just a slight. The thing about Italian food is that Italian
food can be, there's no such thing.
Can be dumbed down to a pretty low degree. At a certain point, French food requires just enough rigor that at a certain point, it's just not the same thing. Whereas, like, Olive Garden, David would say is an Italian, but, like, is Italian.
As the white trash bumpkin in the room, I would say it's Italian-ish.
I would say it's Italian.
I would say it's an abomination.
And I would say that Leland is actually the one who is doing their verse editing. And unlike in ASMR, in like the ASMR Lover episode, we actually see them in the recording studio this week. Does anything happen? No.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Maya says some stuff. Equal twice.
So I actually really like the note Leland gives her with the equal twice thing, because he's like, why don't you do a misdirect? Like, and he doesn't give this example, but he basically is like, you know how in that one Killer song, and she's touching his chest.
Yeah.
You do that, like, misdirect. What if you do that? She does not.
I mean, here's the weird thing. Famously, Candy Muse's favorite thing to do is to rhyme the same word three times. And I've never had a problem with it. Like, people will reference it, and I'll go, oh, yeah, that is weird. But, like, in Lucky, I never had a problem with Candy Muse rhyming back with back. Like, it just was never, like, a thing that I thought about. Whereas, for some reason, rhyming equal with equal feels so lazy. And I don't... Maybe it's because, like, to rhyme equal with something, you have to be a little bit clever. A.K.A. like Hamilton doing the
sequel,
the put add women to the sequel thing.
Work.
Like, it's like really good writing. So just like copping out and being like, I need this verse to involve equality. So I just wrote equal twice. Feels really boring.
It's,
I don't know. I also hate when Leland is the, I hate the way that, after Canada, I now don't like the way that the U.S. seasons handle their, like, verse challenges. Because in Canada, if something doesn't work, the person that they'll bring in to, like, help them will actually rewrite with them on the fly. Mm-hmm. So that, like, things are streamlined and things make sense and everything. And that's why, like, the songs in Canada always have a little bit more flow. Whereas with this, it's like, we're giving you more than enough rope to hang yourself and we want to see bodies swinging.
Yeah. I mean, that and also probably because, like, Leland is like, I don't have the... you know, bandwidth for this. I was in the studio last night, you know, writing with Troy Sivan and Kim Petras. And we were all drunk.
I will say, I love Morphine's approach to this, where she's like, I'm going to talk about this really serious, horrible issue, but I'm going to make it cunt. A word that's lost all meaning this season, by the way. Just for me, personally. But I thought it was hilarious.
What do you mean? It has... Cunt has a very specific meaning. Charisma, uniqueness, nerve, talent.
Oh, I thought it was Charmisa.
Season 17.
It's Theresa May.
That was a good episode this week. Let's talk about that instead. I have not watched it.
It's good.
Spoilers. Now I know there's an episode this week. I can't wait. Okay. So I have not watched UK versus the World. Can I guess at something that happens?
Go for it.
Go.
Gothy Kendall goes, I don't know how I'm going to do this challenge. I don't know if I'm ready for this challenge. And everyone goes, this is a challenge they do every year. How are you not prepared for anything?
Because she went home first.
Why did she come back if she's not prepared for anything?
Because she thought she was going home first.
Remember when? She should have. Did you see her challenge show number?
Yeah.
I will.
My favorite was she posted just the screenshot of like, her doing the spin with fire, and she went, and this was low, and someone was like, well, if you pick the one good moment.
I will say Gothy does seem to have that constant energy of I'm still here. How? Yeah.
Speaking of people who are still here, Dawn starts out, she's a little shaky, and Leland's like, just sell it, and she does.
She's having a great time.
Saphira is no notes perfection.
She really is.
Nymphia, he's like,
you struggle banana bus.
Mm-hmm. Nymphia, actually, I love this. This is the second time in two seasons that Rebecca Glasscock has been mentioned. has been referenced directly because Nymphia also didn't write enough words to fill her verse.
Because, oh my God, she writes like 10 words.
Yeah, she writes literally, she gives herself like, she like writes a mood board of what she thinks she wants to talk about, and then she just doesn't put them in any specific order. It's also weird because Nymphia's verse is weirdly very similar to Morphine's verse as far as like the kind of idea that it says, except for Morphine's verse is literally so good and Nymphia's verse is struggling.
Because Morphine wrote at least 50 words compared to 10.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's shocking because Nymphia actually also co-wrote Bloom with Troye Sivan.
I know. Totally random, but I kind of like hope that one time, like, someone just has full writer's block and this is their verse. Can I do it?
Can I stop you? Go for it. I mean,
you could.
Maddie Morphosis will not approve of whatever you do.
It's just like, ooh, yeah. Girl.
Rebecca Glasscock.
I was going to say, I just talked about Rebecca Glasscock.
Wait, is that what she did?
Yeah.
Have you not seen season one, babe?
No.
Rebecca Joe, Glasscock's that season was verse, lost for like a decade.
Rebecca Glasscock's verse is buck wild in season one. She literally, they have to write 16 bars and she writes 8.
Wait. Do you not know my season one story?
I know your season one story.
I know you had it on in the background.
Yeah, you had it on in the background. But like rewatch the finale of season
one. Okay.
Season one. Because Rebecca Glasscock literally, they have to write 16 bars for Hank's CoverGirl.
Yeah.
It's where, that's when Vivi did the face, beauty face. I give face, you can't take.
Watch my body go insane.
And literally Rebecca Glasscock just has like 2 lines and they're like, we need 8 more bars. And then still at the end of the episode, they're like, America's next drag superstar, Rebecca Glasscock. And she walks forward, she's like, I won. It's like, how do you think you won this episode? And they go, this is not your time.
And it hasn't been since.
And hey, Princess Poppy is keeping the Rebecca Glasscock legacy alive.
Cosplaying her for the reunion.
She went to the Emmys dressed as her. Rebecca Glasscock is also a goblin. but anyway, so then we get into the choreo session with Jamal Sims. And
oh, we forgot that while they were doing...
I didn't forget. I didn't care.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, the one thing that I just find funny is like, I don't know if they do this every season, but it feels like this season more than the others. It's just the girls like kikiing on the sideline and just like throwing shade.
So
like there's no tomorrow.
I think based on what Dawn talked about, I think that like all of the girls on this season understand the assignment. And I'm going to guess also found last season kind of boring.
Mm.
So all of them are just, I think all of them have a baseline love of each other and they're all pretty shady. Mm. And so they just literally spend all their time throwing shade.
Although one of my favorite things is at one point Dawn turns to Jane and goes, wouldn't it be funny if you just, when Nymphia sits down, you just say, don't worry, I'm going to give you the potion, and then don't.
That was so fucking mean and shady and funny.
You know what would have been the funniest part about that? It wouldn't have mattered anyway. So one thing I like about Jamal Sims is that he has choreo in mind, but when you can do tricks, he incorporates it because he understands that he's creating a TV show where you are competing against other people for money and prestige. So Maya's like, here are my flips. And they're like,
great.
They're we'll like, put we've those all. In. He's like, I've never seen these. These are fascinating. All the other queens are like, oh, those flips? Yeah, we've seen them a lot lately. And then Q can't dance.
Q is just, her verse is bad, and then she can't dance. So in a just world, she'd be in the bottom, but not this week.
So then we get to the next day, and everyone's talking about, Dawn talks about her journey in therapy and how important it is to seek mental health care. Mm-hmm. Do other people talk about things? Did we talk about voting somehow?
We do talk about voting in the most, like, passive, like, voting is good.
Well, I mean, most of these girls are, like, 20. Like, it was one of those things where I was watching with someone, and he's like, they're not registered to vote. It's like, they probably are. Several of them probably didn't vote in the last election because they weren't old enough.
That is valid, yeah.
I will say this. They do talk valid. About, I don't remember who said it, but someone talks about the importance of voting at every level.
Yeah.
And Dawn talks about how you have to, how voting locally, local politicians are the people who are really stripping rights away on that level. So you have to make sure you're voting small as well.
Local elections are just as important as the major ones.
If not, sometimes more important.
Absolutely. Major election. Right. Here in Los Angeles, there was a man running, I don't know what position he was going for, but he ran on that removing the transgender psychosis from public schools and banning the sodomite clubs. And it was a lot. And this man was running. He was on a ballot.
Yeah.
He could have won. He didn't.
Remember when that one twink ran for governor in the race that when 87 people were running for governor and he was just like, he just sold merch of himself as a cowboy.
How did your political career go, Joe?
You know, I didn't really pay too much attention, but I am great at taking a poll.
So there's a Los Angeles celebrity named Angeline.
They made a Hulu show about her.
No, it was a Peacock show about her.
Oh, my mistake.
And
even less prestigious.
And she, exactly. And she's run for governor like a few times. And I remember a friend of mine works for her. And she was like, Vid, get your friend who loves me to sign the thing so I can run for governor. And I was like, okay, cool. So I did. And then I was like, I'm not going to vote for her. And then a friend of mine said, actually, what you could do is you could tell her that you did vote for her because you can oppose the recall and still vote for her. Because you're basically saying, I oppose the recall, but if the recall does happen, I vote for Angeline.
Please tell me you didn't do that.
Oh, I did.
Oh, David.
You were supposed
to. The recall wasn't going to happen.
I know, but
you were supposed to vote for the twink in that case.
No, I wasn't here for that time.
What?
The time that the twink ran? That was like a decade ago.
No, that was this last one.
That was this last one?
Yeah, that was in the the recall.
How many times have 87 people run for governor?
As someone who grew up here. Far too many.
Oh, but Jesus Christ.
No, it was actually, it was funny because someone asked him about it and he was like, oh, I'm the farthest left candidate in who is running. If you're going to, you should vote to oppose the recall because the recall is stupid. But if you're going to put down a name, it should be me because I'm very socialist and I like actually have plans, like I would actually do things. But you should oppose the recall.
I respect that.
And I was
respect
like, that. I think, again, I think he was just kind of doing it. I think he, like, he sold a bunch of merch. So I think he, like, was, like, trying to pay off his student debt. And I'm here for that.
But did he start an OnlyFans?
He fucked pasta, actually. he figured out what the least fuckable pasta was. And shockingly...
Rigatoni?
Joe?
Parpadelle.
Pappardelle.
Parpadelle.
No.
Parpardel.
Well, no. I realized why I hated playing.
Did anyone get a sad backstory?
No.
No, someone did. I feel like we got someone's... Was it just Dawn? We got, like, Dawn's full backstory?
Yeah, we did. Dawn's.
Okay.
Because I had a moment of like, oh, fuck, is Dawn going home?
No, I got that vibe.
I never thought Dawn was going home. It was one of those things where they talked too much about Dawn not doing well, and I was like, Dawn's gonna be fine. Mm. It's one of those weird things where it's like, I have so much confidence in Dawn's ability to perform. And yeah, she was Dawn is aggressively fourth best, fourth worst in this episode. She is firmly in the middle.
Mm. I don't know if I agree with that.
Who do you think was, do you think she was better or worse than that?
I think she was better.
You think she was better than Maya?
Honestly, okay.
Well, so before we get into that, I've actually never spoken about the outfits of one RuPaul Charles before.
Never.
Not one time. But I cannot wait for Lux Noir London to recreate this look.
It's probably my favorite RuPaul look in a dog's age.
It's disco diva.
So yeah, I loved good. It just feels it's like great. Drag.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wig was great. Like, it was good. It was so really excited. Nice
to see something like this.
And then there was that ugly flower in her hair.
Oh, I didn't mind it.
It, for some reason, it gave me Ben de la Creme before she got money vibes. The flower.
When she was money de la creme.
Broke de la creme. I just, yeah, then we got to go. I don't want to talk about the main challenge because it's got to get me to talk about Plane and why this episode really cemented why I don't like Plane.
So we start, it's one of those weird things where it's like, the problem with something like this is that, like, I think the verses are all 30 seconds, which is better than when they're 15,
mm-hmm.
but
agreed.
It's still just like, I find it wild in retrospect, the way that they kind of dragged Megami in the first episode for not saying enough in her talent show, to then have one of the most performative, least impactful political challenges they've ever done. Like, it's one of those things where it's
thank
like-
Thank you.
They were like, you should have said more than this Protect Queer Art thing. And it's like, that was so much more of a statement mm-hmm. than the song Power, where the block parts of the song that were the thing that they had the most control over have nothing to do with voting.
No.
They're like, this is a song to get out the vote. And then there's literally no part of the song that is designed to get out the vote because this song will probably be in Work the World for like a year. And for most of that time, it won't be an election year.
I
like this. This will join Work the World in like August. Mm-hmm. So by December, it still needs to work in the block of the show.
No, it won't because they'll be at Christmas Queens.
Well, the queens who don't get invited to Christmas Queens.
Damn. So here's what drove me nuts about this. Like, okay, RuPaul's politics have never exactly been RuPaul's politics never exactly been transparent, or at the very least, she's never made a statement that was really politically charged or, you know, kind of like clear about it. She'll never talk about her stance on
fracking.
Yes, thank you. I was trying not to go there, but yeah, she'll never talk about like that kind of stuff because then she'd have to, you know, drop the charade a little bit, and she can't do that.
You mean fracking and investing in a book company that had
Mein Kampf?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you work with dropshippers, everybody.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I think RuPaul's politics, RuPaul and like Nancy Pelosi have the same politics, which is vaguely left-leaning, but in a capitalist way.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly it. Because it's just, you know, the message of the song is vote. Vote for what exactly? I don't know, just go do it.
Well, I'm actually kind of pro that because I'm someone who says I don't care who you vote for as long as you vote. I do care who you vote for.
What I'm going to say is that if you're going to try to, like, if you are just writing a generic song telling people to vote, sure. But if you're trying to actually send a message about the importance of protecting, like, this song should have had a message.
Yes.
Because these are drag performers at a time when like this is a politically charged issue.
Mm.
And
we have immigrants. We have people who are gender non-binary. We have people who are exploring their gender.
These are all drag queens.
Yes.
They can all be arrested for doing this in parts of this country right now.
Mm-hmm.
In like the wrong venue.
Yep.
Like just in general, ignoring everything else about these people, the thing that they are on the show to do baseline is something that is currently under attack, which is why the like Morphine's verse was so good. She was like, I got that drag that they ban on was like such a good lyric that this song lacked without it.
Mm, yeah.
And it's why so many of the things like Dawn's verse is great as far as like a Drag Race verse goes. It's like about therapy and like mental health, but it's not really about voting. I don't think Maya just says equal twice. Plain is just making sex jokes.
I kind of forgot
to write voting stuff.
I'm furious about that, by the way.
Nymphia just said vote yellow.
Which means nothing.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones where it's like it felt like several of these queens were using the verse that they wrote before they came on the show. Yeah. Without, like, having a clear idea in mind. I don't even remember. I just remember Sophia's verse being good, but I don't remember any words in it.
I just remember that, like, Plain Jane was like, it's so hard to write when you're horny. And that's why all of her stuff is, like, sex-related.
No, fuck you. Like, not you, David. I mean, just, like, so here's why.
I do most of my best writing when I'm horny.
That sounds like you.
It's difficult because you only have one hand free, but still.
And that's why you're ambidextrous. So, okay. We've talked about how Plain is clearly playing a character. Like, yes. She's doing the villain bit. And she finds the weakest person in the room, and she just kind of picks at them, and it's her thing. And this song, to me, embodies why I can't stand her right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a couple years when she chills the fuck out and actually goes to therapy that Dawn suggests, I might. But right now, I can't fucking stand her because, okay, Plain, tell me, what do you care about? Oh, I'm horny. That's not a fucking answer. Why should someone vote? Oh, dick joke, burger finger. Girl, have a stance about something. Care about something. Show me even the slightest bit of yourself that isn't filtered through 15 layers of anxiety, and I might actually like you a little bit. Because everything is so fucking staged with her, and she is so, like, you're right. She wrote this for her finale verse, and it feels like it.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I think that it's important to remember that I think Plain is young. I mean, she's young in general, and no one in this season is, other than, like, Megami, no one in this season was past 30.
Maybe Safira?
No, she's 12. Safira is 26.
No. Wait, is she?
No.
I don't know.
I do love that
some people look old for their age.
Maya's
why'd you look at me when
Maya's
you said that, bitch?
Maya's just a 15-year-old they picked up by accident.
No, that's Dawn.
No, that's
not making that joke. Not making the joke.
No, I think that's one of, I think that's Bob's joke, is that he's like, Maya was actually brought on by mistake. They picked up the wrong girl. She's just an actual 15-year-old who's like trying to compete on Drag Race.
She's so short.
Short braces. But no. But like, I think there's something to be, I think there is absolutely something to say about the idea that these are like young people and that you don't necessarily have all of your stances in life worked out. Plain is clearly like a pretty insecure person. Like, I'm not going to fault Plain for not having a coherent mission statement about her politics at the age of 26.
That's fair. That's
like,
fair.
I find Plain to be boring, but it's not like, oh, she made too many sex jokes. She's just trying to play Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like, in a lot of episodes, Plain could have won this episode because, oh, we laughed at your verse and we found Safira's verse to be too serious, so we sent Widow Von Du home. Like, that's like a thing on this show.
It has happened.
Where, like, people who take politics seriously lip sync in the political episodes, Latrice Royale. And so I think it just is something to remember, is that these queens know what the show is and they're trying to play it. I mostly just am like, no one's verse was that interesting. Morphe had such a clear point of view in her verse and was doing this at such a high level that I was like frustrated that it was a lip sync for the win that she lost, because I was like, no, Morphe absolutely was the best person this week.
I have a question for you, just because I, in talking about it, I looked it up. Who do you think is the oldest person on this season?
Megami. You keep saying that.
No, I think I remember looking this up, and Megami is like the oldest person on the season.
Pope?
I'm going to vote Safira.
Or Tsunami.
Okay. Tsunami, Safira.
No.
And Maya are all 34.
No. No, you're... Oh my God.
Maya's 34.
Maya is 34.
You have bit me over and took away my birthday, my friend. What the I'm looking at these right now.
I know.
Safira being 34. Okay. All right. I'll buy that. Tsunami being 34.
She looks amazing.
They all look amazing.
What's her skin? No, they all do.
I just because I know that we've been joking about because here's
How old is Megami? Because I thought Megami
33.
Okay, I was like Megami is one of the. I was like, this cast is mostly in their 20s.
Yeah.
How old is Plain?
Plain is 25. You're correct.
Yeah. I'm not gonna fault a 25-year-old for not having a coherent world view. I'm not even gonna fault a 25-year-old for being
kind of fake.
For being for having too many walls put up. I will fault a 25-year-old for being boring television, which was I think Plain is. And I'm just gonna say,
especially this week,
as a famed reality TV contestant once said, my mama always told me, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's why I won't take my tits out on America's Next Top Model.
There you go. It's funny because I feel like we've been talking about how young this season is. No one is really super young, because
Dawn's 25?
Dawn's 25.
I thought
Hugh is 26. Nymphia is 27.
It's not that everyone is super young. This isn't one of those seasons. This isn't Seven where everyone is in their early 20s, or a UK season where two queens are 19. It's that no one in this season is particularly old, We don't have a 40-year-old queen on this season.
That's fair.
Mother this season is Saphira.
Yeah.
And she's Saphira 34. Is like
34, yeah.
Yeah, she's
and 34 age. Is actually one of the oldest ages so that I can imagine, but I am 19, goo goo gaga.
I know. You are forever 29 or 19, whatever you want to be, baby.
Can I say something really cunty?
I mean, yeah, this is a podcast. We're allowed.
I can't believe Q is 26. I would have guessed she was like 35.
It's the filler.
Yeah.
Don't get filler, folks. Don't
I
do mean, it.
The thing I say about Q is that it's the same thing as, like, you never know how, like, old Plasma is. Like, it's one of those weird things where, like, Q also has, like, an older aesthetic in a way that is, like, very specific.
Also, Mirage is 29.
Gag.
She looks amazing. Mirage.
I miss her.
God bless Mirage. And Plasma's 24, which makes me feel like a dirty old man.
Well, you are a dirty old man. So.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know. It's diddle, diddle, diddle.
I don't know. My partner's 5 years older than me. I don't think it's that weird. TikTok would, but fuck them.
Would they?
No, they wouldn't.
I don't know. TikTok yells at...
Like, yeah, I mean...
If there's an age gap at all on TikTok, you get yelled
TikTok
at.
TikTok has some weird... There's
a, it's Tumblr.
There are some people that have very weird... My favorite was someone was like, this book features an unnatural age gap between a 24-year-old and a 32-year-old. It's like... Babe.
Oh, honey. Babe. Honey. Babe.
But honey. Anyway, the runway category this week is True Colors.
De colores.
And that's why I love you.
So it is all of them pick a color and then do a runway in that color.
They ran out of themes.
They ran out of themes years ago.
No. In a same, but radically different. I was listening to Give It to Me Straight. And
because you're in love with Maddie, we know.
I do. Yeah. But I was listening to the Lawrence Cheney episode. And besides the fact that, like, it is, like, so confirmed that Lawrence Cheney, that RuPaul is obsessed with Lawrence Cheney, because apparently she's like, yeah, you know, Ru and I were on the same TV show and I was listening to her music while I was getting ready and she was in the room next door and I was like, this is so awkward, babes. And then all of a sudden Rue's like, no, I watched your audition tape so many times.
I'm going to be perfectly
what is with all the accents
honest,
this episode
David, and I love you. I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea why we got here.
What? No,
you literally were like, anyway, here's a 5-minute bit in a Scottish accent.
No.
Is it just about the fact that Lawrence likes the color purple and she made it a huge part of her thing?
No. Yes, but no. So apparently at DragCon, when they do the like runway, every girl has to pick a color and they cannot overlap colors. And apparently Diabetti picked purple and Lawrence like made a huge stink about it. And they're like, oh, but it was her promo look and we love her promo look and we asked her to bring her promo look. And she was like, fuck you, my color is purple. Yeah. I will be doing purple. And so they're like, okay, fine. She'll be lilac and you'll be aubergine.
I knew that you were going to say aubergine.
Aubergine's a good drag name.
It's a great drag name.
Anyway, speaking of people on this season, Maya's first up and her color is red. Why? Because red is horny. That was something she said.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's gown. It reminded me a lot of her Mary's Canary look. This felt like it confirmed to me what I thought before, which is that her Mary's Canary look was a garment she had already possessed.
Yeah.
That she then brought on the show and repurposed.
I believe that. I love this look on her. I think she looks really at her best in these pageanty looks.
I also I love the way this new delusion flatters her body.
Yeah.
I like the way that she's done her makeup. I do. It was funny because I was watching someone who's like, she still doesn't have a neck, and it's like, I just don't think she has much neck to begin with.
Yeah, she doesn't much neck to work with.
Like, the drag queen you're about to see has no neck.
Where's your fucking neck?
When she was picking her stats, she picked really low on neck, so she could have more pussy and crack.
Okay, as someone who does not have much of a neck, like, the beard is just there to give the illusion I have one. I will say, though, I think she looks great here. I love it. It's one of the best looks of her, for her this season.
Yeah. And then up next, we have Nymphia in gray.
I was about to say, Nymphia, who chooses the most shocking color no one ever saw coming, yellow.
She voted yellow. I actually am
what
obsessed.
What does that mean?
I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with, she was talking about this look, and she's like, I spent a lot of time figuring out what I was going to do. And she just starts listing yellows of like all of the different, and she says, I'm going to do banana yellow. The weird thing is someone on Twitter was like, Nymphia's consistently doing things that no one's ever done, looking at this look. And everyone was like, this is a reference that has been referenced
so many times
on Drag Race. There was Drag Race Brazil apparently had an entire runway that was
Josephine Baker.
Or no, not Josephine Baker. The person who does the fruit.
Carmen Miranda?
Carmen Miranda runway, where like Josephine Baker was brought up a lot.
This is both those, right? Like,
no,
I'm not crazy.
This is specifically Baker. Josephine Baker. The big person that I would say reference this would be Manila. Mm-hmm. Manila and Mo both did plastic versions of this look, and Manila's look was so good that I was like, this is great. I personally preferred Manila's plastic version.
I'll say this. Two things. It's definitely Josephine Baker, because Josephine Baker had the banana skirt, but also she had a song that was like, no, sir, we have no more bananas.
Well, yeah. Okay. I just thought the headdress kind of made me think of Carmen Miranda.
Yeah. So. I understand where your reference is going, but this is aggressively Josephine Baker.
It's so good.
But I will say this. I am both. I love it, but I'm also getting a little tired of the banana shtick. Especially when her first outfit was kind of a Josephine Baker vibe on the runway. And this is just like...
I don't agree with the first outfit being a Josephine Baker vibe. I think that we just didn't know her yet. And it was a banana theme thing. But the first outfit was more... was like Fabergé egg into like a series of banana looks. Whereas this is a very specific reference.
Fair, but she also had the banana skirt. That was very Josephine Baker.
I'd have to look at that look again. But I think the biggest problem is we know you loved bananas. We know bananas kind of part of your brand. Mm-hmm. And it should still be there. But it'd be like if Shangela had a box on every outfit. Or Manila had a pineapple with every outfit.
Or Mo only did cow stuff.
Right.
But that Mo actually only did do cow stuff for All Stars 4.
Or Monet Exchange did a bunch of sponge stuff.
Okay, I am going to say Brown Cow Stunning is still stuck in my head to this day. I don't know why. I don't even like the song. I could do it right now. I'm not going to, but I could.
But you won't.
But I won't.
But you could if you wanted to.
It's not that podcast. So, next up is Plain Jane in green.
Plain green.
Green. Yeah. It's fine.
It's gown.
I kind of wish it wasn't a nude illusion and that it was a different color.
I disagree. I don't think this is a nude illusion.
Oh.
Because it doesn't match her face or hands.
But nothing matches her face or hands.
It is wild how much Plain wears nude, how much Plain has not managed to master her foundation matching her garments. It is like, this is her legs all the way up.
I have a question, genuinely. Is it a possibility that she tried on all the looks, did a makeup test, and it all matched, and it's the lighting that's fucking
actually bad. That is possible.
She's a bitch eating crackers. The crackers are the color of her legs versus the color of her face. It's one of those things where that is a possibility. I also think that she might be painting darker. I think that there's a million things, but, like, again, her tights have never matched her. Like, consistently, her tights are a different color than her skin tone.
Mm-hmm. This isn't me trying to defend the look or anything. It was just a genuine question.
Here's the thing, is that I think maybe, but I also think that, like, again, I think that, like, I don't know. I think if you asked Raven what her skin tone was, she would have no idea. Like, I think that there are some people.
That's a lie. I know what Raven's skin tone is. It's RuPaul.
How dare you? Raven is significantly darker than you at this point.
Oh, God.
Raven uses Rue's foundation tone to highlight.
I don't even know if it qualifies as blackface anymore. I think it's just like she put herself in the toaster constantly.
Burnt face.
Yes. She's like those girls from Final Destination.
I smell burnt Raven.
Call the doctor.
I think you're having a stroke.
Next up is perfection. Next up is perfection. Oh, I don't want to hear it. Saphira looks so... I said this at the beginning of the season. She owns the color blue. This proves it.
I know, which is wild because that first episode... I always think about the fact that Saphira, in the first episode, actively had a runway so bad, I was concerned for her.
Yeah.
Like, her reveal runway, like, I remember being, like, I remember in the first episode being, like, I'm worried about the runway quality this season, looking at the first episode, which has not needed to come to pass, because this has been a great season.
Really has.
But, like, specifically Saphira, I was, like, I think she's going to be great, and her runways are going to hold her back. And then she has consistently been one of the... She has brought in All-Stars caliber. Again, imagine being on a season, bringing the stuff you brought, and you show up and Nymphia and Saphira are there.
Oh, no. Yeah. I would just look at them and go, well, see y'all in All-Stars,
like,
maybe.
I was recently showing someone season 5 who's watching this season as their first season, and just the quality of runway is so different.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild.
It's beautiful. It's Marie Antoinette. It's costumey, but it's March also Simpson. Not.
This is
second time this year.
This is when you're playing the Simpsons Final Fantasy game and Marge Simpson does her limit break.
There
this
you go.
Is the costume she changes into.
It's amazing.
Up next, this is the best look of the night. Don't at me. I'm
Dawn
obsessed with this.
In navy.
Is that the color she's going for?
Yeah.
That's okay. All right. I
love this.
This is
I gasped.
Such a character.
I gasped when she walked around the corner.
No, it's
this like fawn moment.
Dawn...
David's gonna hate it.
No,
David's looking at me like he's about to read me for filth.
I'm not reading you for filth. I love it. I genuinely do. I was just wondering if that's what you meant when you accidentally called Pope a sleep paralysis demon.
I didn't call Pope a sleep paralysis demon. I called the men on Hinge sleep paralysis demon.
And said I looked like them.
I didn't. I was just speaking to
Joe, you did this while holding me down, punching me in the face, and calling me a slur. And then you took my car and crashed into a wall and told me, better like next time, fatty.
I'm laughing so hard I have the hiccups.
I've told you, nothing I say matters if that camera and this microphone isn't on. So when I grabbed you by the neck, slammed you into a wall, and pulled out one of your eyeballs and made you eat it, that didn't happen because it wasn't on the podcast. We got you a new eye. It's a little wonky, but so was the original one. Okay. Are we all happy now?
I love that you slid in like a real insult there too. It's great.
I have a question.
I don't think it's a real insult because I don't think it applies to you. Like I'm a firm believer that you can read people as hard as you want as long as the things you're reading them for are entirely made up.
Fair.
Like, if you just pick a thing that isn't accurate about someone, you can just drag them for filth.
We've killed David.
But no, I love Dawn's look. I think that it's conceptual. It's interesting. It's not what Dawn normally
looks.
No.
Like, it... And it feel... Again, Dawn... The thing about Dawn that's really frustrating to me as someone who loves Dawn, I wake up very early. No, I would never. She breaks the dawn in this. No.
Yeah.
But she has such a clear point of view. And she is somebody who has such a... She is a conceptual queen with such a... point of view that you would expect this to be how she came into All Stars, because Trixie didn't have this level of confidence or point of view in her original season.
No,
like even someone like Kim Chi, who is incredible, didn't have this level of like specificity through the entirety of her runways. Mm-hmm. She instead had a million different things she could do.
Yeah,
and Dawn does a very specific thing. Dawn basically is like a Pretty Girl where she does kind of the same thing, but she instead has her own lens and she does a really cool thing with it. And it's really frustrating for her just happen to be on one of the only seasons in years where she's not absolutely one of the best people. Because, like, has Dawn placed low yet?
I don't think she has.
Because someone was like, I saw someone post something that was like, only queen to not flop a challenge, and it was Saphira. And I was like, Dawn is literally never placed below safe.
Yeah, I agree.
And deservedly has never done bad enough to place that low. Even this episode,
yeah,
there were seven queens, and she is firmly four for me.
I will say this. I really hope that she turns this into a makeshift. Because I would buy the plush.
I would. So I want this to be merch. I would own a shirt that had this on it.
Yeah.
Make this into like a backpack.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
Oh God, what's it called? A lounge fly.
Yeah, a lounge fly of this look would love.
That'd be so cute. But my thing about it is, and this is something she's done on every runway, and I'm obsessed with. She brings these fully realized characters. Now, I don't think she always succeeds. Like, I think about her flowers look, and she's supposed to be the dead flowers on a grave. We all were kind of iffy on that one. But she brings stuff like...
I actually loved that look.
I thought it was a good look. I just don't know if she succeeded on her goal there. Mm-hmm. This is such a fully realized character and look. The makeup, the outfit, the fucking chaps.
This feels like a Jim Henson.
It does.
It feels like part of, like, Labyrinth.
I was going to say, not even Jim Henson. What's his name? Oh my God, Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, I could see like a cute Guillermo del Toro character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, yeah, it feels so, it's so good. Anyway, next up is Q doing Bad Coachella.
So I was going to say Bad Beyonce. It's Beyonce.
Bad Coachella.
So it's April Carrion meets Kylie Sonic Love, and that kid is flat broke.
I'm like, how dare you bring up two great people with like, you, like this
it's
is the, not
it, it's their wardrobe via Wish.
This is not the April Carrion thing is so interesting because it's such a moment. There's something so conceptual about bringing out an umbrella, being in a raincoat, bringing out an umbrella, and having the rain be fringe. That this is just not.
Yeah.
I also hate these pants. I hate the fact that this is a look she maybe needed to pad for.
The pants don't hit the floor.
The pants don't hit the floor. They also. Like, these, you know how Violet Chachki would wear pants that would, like, cinch her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These pants need to cinch her. Yeah. Like, there's no shape to this outfit.
No.
There's a hat, but, like, does anyone also still wear a hat?
You're forgetting how, like, ill-fitting the bikini top is.
I'm not. I'm just not getting to it
it's
yet.
It's terrible.
Like, this look is
if
not...
a mandatory meeting got read for this shit, why isn't she?
But, like, it's also one of those things where it's, like... She's like, I'm wearing lavender. And I was like, oh, because it is like one of the most symbolic colors you can wear as a queer person. Because I look pretty in it.
God damn it. Like, you want to talk about why?
26. Shut up.
I'm mad. I'm mad this episode. But then Morphine comes out and I forgive everything.
Then Morphine looked at Plain and said, hey, you got a wig you can share.
Oh,
I love that this wig has been like the
in
sisterhood
more episodes of than Serena Chacha.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the sisterhood of the traveling quig.
No, here's the thing is that people keep bringing this up, and I'm like, you bitches have forgotten. The children do not remember season 11 and Akira's wig that was in almost every episode.
Yeah.
There's a single wig in season 11 that is in like eight or nine episodes. Like, Akira wears it, Vanjie wears it, Silky wears it.
Joe, children
they all look
do
fantastic.
Not know.
Kids, and the children have forgotten.
Yeah. Like,
it's, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, like, people forget that when drag is good, it moves around. Like, famously, Trixie Mattel's finale look on her All Stars, I believe that originally belonged to James.
Really?
Like, that look had been all around the country at that point.
Well, she also hated that look, and she just out of clothes.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm just going to justify it.
But no, it was still a good look.
But no, but like, that also isn't what I mean. I'm just saying that sometimes you don't bring enough wigs to Drag Race.
I know.
I thought Joe was saying that sometimes, you know, something is so good, it's basically the pass around party bottom of drag.
No, that's Jeffrey Moran. But no, this look is fantastic if you don't look at it too closely.
What are you talking about?
The under of the look, the thing that she eventually reveals into in the lip sync, not great. All I'm saying is that I was like, maybe Morphine is getting, just continually is getting more and more BBL, because she has to balance out how massive her dick is, because she's just not, either that or she's either tucking terribly or not tucked at all in this look. And you can tell.
I mean,
it's a
meaty tuck.
Also, the color is, the color is royal purple. We did not say that.
Aubergine. Yes.
But it's a great look as a total, but when she has to lip sync in it later, because she does really badly in this episode, so she has to lip sync. And she's really being punished because she has to do the worst thing you can do on Drag Race.
Lip sync to Meghan Trainor?
Yeah.
That's a fate worse than death.
That's a fate worse than your sandwich getting stolen.
Ooh. I will say
this. I'm obsessed with Shea Coulee walking up to Meghan Trainor at the Grammys and confessing that she just made that up.
That's amazing.
She was like, Meghan, you were on Drag Race when I was there and there was this sandwich. She went, I didn't do it. She went, yeah, I know. I made that up. I just thought it was funny, and now it's become a thing.
Oh my god. Shea Coulee.
Shady Coulady.
Well, back to this outfit. I really do like it. And I thought it looked like a Latinx Pam Anderson.
Yeah.
I was thinking that one too.
She came out as the giant hat.
It is stunning. It looks so good.
I love that color on her.
Yeah, I love the color. Morphine is one of those girls that's lucky because her runway package is backloaded.
Yeah.
Is it because
of the BBL?
Yeah. But her runways at the beginning of the season were weaker. And now that we've gotten to like the higher points of the season, this happens to be just the nicer stuff that she brought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is just a gorgeous runway. And she walks so well in it. She looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that's, yeah. And
yeah, that's the end.
Yeah, she was good enough that she got final runway.
Yeah, I will say this. Do you know who also wears a hat like that quite often?
Who?
Kylie Sonique Love.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, outside of the Madonna pop-up shop.
Oh, that's fun.
I hope I didn't buy the last rosary, because she was like, when I was walking out, I was with my dog, and I was like, hi, I'm so sorry to bug you. I just want to tell you that I'm a fan. And she's like, oh my God, thank you. And we had a little chat, and then she's like, yeah, I'm hoping I get a rosary. And I was like, I think they have a few left.
So Kylie Sonique Love, if you're listening and you didn't get a rosary, David will give you one, but only if you punch him in the face.
I'll give you my St. Paul one.
Damn.
Because I didn't think I was going to get an LA one, so I found one online and I got the St. Paul one. But I just thought it was funny because I was like, oh, it's a rosary and it says St. Paul.
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
So.
What about St. Pasek?
All right, so we need to talk about the immunity potion.
So they go, Plain Jane, your immunity potion expires today. Do you want to give it to someone or drink it yourself? And she goes, I'm gonna give it to Nymphia.
Why?
So somebody was like, I think she's so strategic because she knew that she sabotaged Nymphia earlier. And now she's giving her the immunity potion. I'm like, I think she just likes Nymphia. Nymphia's like the other girl from her group at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're just actually friends. And Plain has something broken in her brain where she cannot think she's doing poorly no matter what's happening.
Do you know what rhymes with broken in your brain? Plain Jane.
Damn. It's a bit of a slant rhyme.
It's insane in the membrane.
Insane. Oof. Got no brain.
Well, you know what else rhymes with broken in the brain?
What?
Broken in the brain.
Get out of here.
It's actually funny because when you were talking about that, I was about to say, actually, Joe, she did say equal, and then she said equal.
Equal.
She did not understand the note.
No.
She did not understand
note. She understood. One of the notes was equal, and one of the notes was equal. Those are different notes.
That was a squeakquel. I'm not apologizing for that.
Wow, we both made fun of Joe today.
What? You went for a squeak. Was that mean? Was that being mean again?
No, it's fine. I don't know. Joe, was that mean?
Okay, now you're just mean.
Alvin! I'm kidding. I'm the Alvin of this podcast.
Me, I want a hula hoop.
Wait, then who's Theodore and who's the other one?
Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
I think Pope is Simon, David is Theodore.
I'll take it.
Which one's Simon? Which one is Simon, the one with glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Simon is the brain, and then Theodore's the adorable one.
Yeah, that tracks.
Thank you so much. I was going to say Theodore's personality is eating, but I figured it was nice to bring up that he's just adorable. Because, like, that is his other thing, is he's, like, the cute one.
Yeah.
And then I'm the annoying one.
You're the main character.
Yeah.
I'm the plain Jane of this podcast. I also have something broken in my brain where I can't think that I'm doing poorly at things. So, we get into the notes session, and they're like, Maya, good job. Love the dress. Moving on. Maya, you did well. You're not the winner this week. Next.
Do you know what then Maya said?
What?
It's not the drag you used to, bro.
No, Maya said, I was great. also, fun fact with the immunity potion, Nymphia had to accept it. So we'd been talking about how what if you gave a potion to Saphira and she was forced to go to the back? It's like, no, she would have had to say, yes, I will take it.
Yeah.
I wonder if Nymphia, so if this had happened maybe last week, or if the immunity potion had one more week to it and it wasn't expiring, it had one more week and this happened and Nymphia said no to it, would that have just been like no immunity potion, or would it have been, well, there's still an immunity potion on the table?
That's a good question. Although
I don't, it's a question we'll never get answered because I don't think it mattered enough this season to be brought back.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
I have opinions.
Because it could have mattered. It could have been really cool if Plain Jane giving up her immunity potion and then getting subpar notes. And here's the thing.
Because that's what they did.
Here's the thing is that when they had to give Megami notes or Amanda notes about things that weren't look related. Like, Amanda, very famously, they're like, your padding looked weird. And they had one frame where her padding didn't look perfect, but still looked quite good.
Yes.
With Megami, they literally didn't actually have shots to prove that her face was always the same.
Yeah.
Unless David's right, and they just meant she paints her eyebrows in a specific way.
Yeah.
With Plain, they did actually have the shot they needed.
Yes.
They had a shot of her fully messing up choreo, which is all you need to send someone home on Drag Race. So, like, she didn't... we have had... Just spoil this episode, because David is convinced that some people listen to this without watching the show. To spoil the episode, this is a non-elimination episode. It is a top 2 week. Ugh. And we have had two different episodes where arguably only one person did poorly, and no one else did, and they justified two people being in the bottom who were both
good.
Yeah. Who were both times someone good went up to the bottom, and somebody went home who was considered expendable.
Yeah.
And this week, they had the three worst people in this episode were three of their front runners.
Yeah.
One of them got an immunity potion, so now the bottom two this week were two front runners, and they were unwilling to send them home, and they were fully aware that there was no universe where Plain and Q managed to double Shantae their way through Megan Trainor's style.
Ugh. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I think it's Made You Look.
Yeah, no. It's Made You Look.
It doesn't matter. The song is awful.
Whoever picked the look, the fact that we got Made You Look right after Bloody Mary is genuinely so embarrassing for the show.
It's literally what are the TikTok trends?
It literally is TikTok trends from a year ago.
Hello, fellow kids.
And, like, not good ones.
No.
Like, especially this one. I'm like, this was far more of, like, a straight thing. If Chris Olsen did it, it was straight. Chris Olsen is gay content for straight people. He's basically the queer eye of TikTok.
So
toxic in every way.
I was gonna say, so a couple of things. One, I really wish that they said that the immunity potion didn't expire, it just had a best by date, because it didn't fucking matter if you used the immunity potion this week or not.
It didn't, and they knew that. Yeah. Why didn't they push it back? Just do an ADR and say, do an ADR for previous episodes and have Rue, pull Plain aside and be like, we're actually going to give you an extra week on the
No, because they needed to get rid of the immunity potion.
I'm
like, it's
so
very simple. The reason it's also wild because, like, so next week is, we're still top seven, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So next week is a pairs challenge.
One girl's going to have to
which
work
means
alone.
That there's either going to be a girl working alone or a girl or a trio, which tells me that they were producing this to have a top six next week.
Yeah.
Like, this was a panic move, which becomes worse. You know why? Because imagine having to lip sync for your life to Made You Look. Imagine. I will say, while Q definitively can't lip sync, she might have won this one.
Yeah.
Who knows? Truly, who knows?
Who cares?
Well, what's also funny is I'm almost positive in Untucked, someone says, all right, I'm going to go listen to the song with the top two. Which makes me think that they said to Safira and Morphine, hey, maybe learn the song.
Someone brought up that it was wild how they knew all the words to the song.
Yeah.
So that might have been something. But then Lux was like, I knew every, if I did well, I knew the words to the song because I knew how often they top two lip sync.
Mm.
So like maybe it was that. Who knows? It is boring.
It's so boring.
Also, because, no, the people who are listening to the song, I think it's Plain who says that, because they're like, do you need to go learn the words? And she's like, I don't think so. And they're like, you should go learn the words, because, like, Q and Dawn are back there doing it. And Dawn is, like, clearly fine. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, Dawn is so aggressively, her notes are like, you're white, but this was still pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those things where it's like, this challenge feels very designed for Safira to win.
They do call Dawn joyous, and that was very cute.
Yeah.
That made me.
Again, maybe the best part of this entire episode was when Dawn is called safe. Rue says, Dawn, you brought the funk with a side of mayonnaise.
Yes.
That was a good line.
I was like, that was great. Then we get Morphine, they absolutely loved. Mm-hmm. Again, Morphine, I think, did the best this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, if this episode was judged by sane people, yeah, it would have. I honestly feel like this could have been Morphine's win.
Like it sucks that Morphine has had this upward trajectory and finally has a week where she just kind of blows everything out of the water. Her verse is impactful, still being catchy. She's a great performer. She's so magnetic in this performance throughout. It's like, it reminded me a little bit, watching her in this performance reminded me a lot of Olivia Lux in the disco challenge.
Where
there's
just
something to her where it's like, I can't take my eyes off of you. But then we, Safira, they absolutely love.
Yeah.
Q, they're like,
so. Safira did very well.
Yeah. Q, they're like, love the look. Hope you win. No, they're like, we liked your look in the challenge, which is how you know they're full of shit.
Yeah.
Also, that look was Michael Jackson meets Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again.
But ugly.
I didn't say that it was good look. I'm just saying that's what it was.
Yeah. Q really managed, Q for a look queen managed to have two terrible looks in one episode.
Oh God.
And
she's usually like, I'm going to be controversial. I usually love a Q look. I think she's very talented.
I even if I don't love Q's looks, I usually can see what she's going for.
Agreed.
Not
this week.
Q is one of those queens where I can be like, not for me.
Yeah.
Plain, they're like, we liked you when you were in your verse, but you seemed unconfident in the rest of it. And I think that's just kind of the fact that her face doesn't have a lot of. Part of me is like, does Plain have a lot of like work done where she can't move her face, or is she just Russian?
Plain? Oh, just Russian.
Yeah, just Russian.
Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, can't tell.
She's got rosé face.
Brick.
Yeah.
How dare you? Plain is very pretty when she paints.
No,
I recently saw a photo of rosé, and I was like, oh my god, you finally learned to do makeup.
I mean, yeah, I just mean that they both have, like, a lot of, this is gonna sound so awful. So apparently when you do certain, like, DNA tests, they tell you how much Neanderthal you have in you.
Go on.
And they just both have, like, facial structures that is still quite Neanderthal.
Look, I love a pronounced brow. So if any Neanderthals out there want to put a little bit more Neanderthal in me, Pope's DMs are open and then he'll text me.
I was going to say, do you want them to light up your cave?
What Joe wants is the Geico cavemen to call them.
No, I just imagined the slutty version of Plato's The Cave. Instead of shadow puppets, it's just shadows of dicks on the wall. And you just think those are the dicks. Those are the world. It's just some guy jerking off. But you see the shadow of it.
I mean, that really would be the Plato Cave story if you think about it. As told by Freud.
We're an educational podcast, I guess. So I do have to ask you two. All right. In a world where the immunity potion was used on a proper episode or didn't expire this week and the judging was sane and it was a bottom two, do you think it would have been of the three worst girls this week? Who do you see in the bottom?
Are we including
Nymphia, yes, because I do feel like Nymphia... If we ignore that she was given the immunity potion, I honestly feel like she could have been in the bottom this week.
I think it would have been Q and Plane.
Q and Plane.
I think it would have been Q and Plane for a few reasons. I think that with Nymphia, she was so joyous and so like bright and like present that it might have made up for having a bad verse.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Plane was so... The problem with Plane is that spreading the vote like I'm spreading my legs or whatever.
What does that even mean?
Is so much less funny than she had something like "Don't break my heart, just break my back."
Yeah.
Was such a genuinely good line.
It's a good line. It's a good line. I'll give you that.
And like Plane's verse in her original girl group challenge was great. This was the same one, but less good.
Yeah.
And then Q was just undeniably the worst.
Yeah.
Bedroom queen.
I agree with everything that Joe is saying. I also will say that one thing that I do want to say is that I think that what would have, like, if we're playing the game of does runway count, I think that Nymphia's runway knocks her up a notch.
Yeah.
And Q and Plane's are just fine. Also, was it just me or was Plane's performance outfit the same outfit that she made for her doll?
It looked so similar.
It was same color.
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
She actually stole more of Plasma's fabric.
More of that at home.
More of that hideous blue crushed velvet.
Yeah.
So we get to the end of the episode.
Before we get to the end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
Two things from Untucked.
Never mind, we didn't.
Two things from Untucked that I think are worth talking about.
All right.
One is Nymphia gets sent back by herself and she's like, I'm so bored. And so she takes a bunch of the bananas that are on her and she draws faces on them and starts talking to them.
I want to be clear. You could have held a gun to my head and I wouldn't have brought this up because it was so uninteresting.
Oh, I thought it was so funny.
And then we saw Dawn's partner did a message from home.
That's not the interesting part. The interesting part that I thought about that.
Assumed.
No. I was going to bring that up. But the thing that I found interesting about that was how Don was, because he says, like, we had a rocky period. And Don's like, he said to me, I love you, but I hate Don because when you're Don, you're so anxious and you're so in your head and you're always freaking out. And if you want to do this as your career, you need to stop that, or you need to stop being Dawn.
And he needed to ask her, Dawn, how is your head?
Never had any complaints.
It was interesting. It was really lovely to see how much he clearly cares about her.
It was cute.
It's a shame that she was completely inconsequential to this episode.
Yeah.
Because, truly, there's no universe where it seems like Dawn is bottom two. But they're calling all the girls safe. They call Plane safe. And then everyone goes, what? And then they call Q safe. And they're like, Saphira, Morphine, one of you is going to get shot in the back of the head at the end of this lip sync. We're not going to tell you which one, so you better make it count. No, it's a lip sync for the win because democracy.
They tend to do this. I remember Widow Von Du and Jackie Cox, same situation.
What?
What's up?
No, that was a lip sync for your life, babe.
Yeah, but they didn't go home.
Yeah, they did. Widow went home during the firework lip sync.
Did she? I thought.
Yeah. Widow went home for the firework lip sync. Dieter Ritz went home in the celebrate lip sync. And Thorgy went home in the And I'm Telling You lip sync.
Yeah.
They've literally never not sent someone home on the political episode of a season. No, I think if you're going to make it democracy,
have them vote.
Lip sync for your legacy, babe. Mm-hmm. grab those lipsticks. Grab some white out. Write plain and cue on a lipstick.
Oh yeah.
See who's going home. That'd be fun. Oh, and they ask the all important question: are you registered to vote? And Nymphia said yes, and I was like, has Nymphia been in the United States long enough to have citizenship?
I mean, possibly.
Possibly. Or she could have
been born here or moved back to Taiwan.
Yeah. Or other thing is, we don't know how long she's been here, but it's entirely possible that she got fast-tracked.
Fair.
And by the way, listener, in the episode description, I have linked the registration form. Make sure you're registered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's painless, I promise.
You know what isn't painless? Is fucking lip sync. So the lip sync song is Made You Look by Meghan Trainor.
I thought we agreed as a country to just take Meghan Trainor and push it somewhere else.
We did, and then Chris Olsen brought it back.
Ugh. Fuck you, just Chris Olsen.
So it's such an uninteresting lip sync song.
It's a
There's not a lot of build to it. They're trying. These girls are, but also it's a lip sync for your legacy. So it's a lip sync for the win. So no one really cares.
Right.
There's no real stakes. They're just kind of like vibing.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
It's so fucking boring.
And also, like, isn't there? It's funny because honestly,
if this lip sync was a lip sync for your life, it would have been a double sachet.
It's not even that. The thing that I just kind of found funny is that it's like,
I don't know if I agree with that, but.
Considering this is the second like TikTok song they used, I remember that the big thing about Made You Look that became a thing was it had like a very specific TikTok dance.
Did it?
Yeah. Yes. And I was surprised that no one did the fucking TikTok dance.
Thank God. It didn't work out well for Crystal Method, did it?
Damn.
During the lip sync for The Crown in season 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you watch them watching it live, because they didn't see each other because they were just in their houses.
Right.
Crystal goes, oh, I was just doing TikTok dances.
I love that idiot. I love that idiot. I also feel like Safira does do a pretty decent job with a horrible song.
I mean,
like,
so does Morphe.
The reveal is great, you know.
What? Was there a reveal?
Oh, when Safira, you know, Safira's in that huge ball gown, and then, oh, she's not. Ooh.
Yeah, I guess.
I thought that was cute. I thought she did good. Like, it's just a shit song, so yeah. It's a shit sandwich.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, it just was not a, like, this lip sync was nothing to me.
It was just, lip sync was bad, episode was bad. It just, like, it just made me weirdly more angry that Plasma got sent home last week.
Why? Did you want her to be in this bad episode?
It would have been a bright spot for me.
Well, just because you like looking at her face doesn't mean the episode would have been better.
No, I think that sometimes you watch TV shows because you like the actor. And when your favorite actor gets killed off, you stop watching Lost.
And sometimes you listen to podcasts because you like the people on it. So if you like us, make sure to tune in next week where we're going to be covering episode 11, which is something about TED Talks or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
You can follow the show at This Toxic Fandom, and you can follow your favorite podcaster. Stephen Pope is at Pro Hobbit Pope. David Gorn is at David J. Gorn. And I'm at Joe Lee Green Giant.
And if you like us, tell a friend. If you really like us, tell your friend with benefits. And if you think we're just okay, you know, tell a one night stand.
Yeah. And if you also thought this episode was bad, you should give it a 1-star review on IMDb, but you should give us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And until next time,
stay toxic and register to vote.
Vote, baby, vote.
I'm so tired. Vote, I hate daylight savings.
Yeah. Are you registered?
No, David, no. I'm so tired.
David, go to bed.
Go to bed.
David.
We're going to bed. David. You had dollars for donuts. I went to bed later than all of you, and I'm merry fucking sunshine.
I woke up and went to the gym, and also, I watched Oppenheimer last night. I got to bed very late.
What time did you get to bed?
3-something, 4-something.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely 4-something for me.
4-something.
Both of you shut up and go to bed.